Legislation is changing. Budgets are shifting. And terms like one big beautiful bill can feel anything but beautiful. That's where BHM CPA Group steps in. BHM's purpose is to simplify the complex. Their team is trained to meet today's challenges with real-world solutions in tax, accounting, and business planning. Get the clarity you deserve so that your business can thrive. Don't wait. Visit BHMCPAGroup.com. That's BHMCPAGroup.com. BHM, because running a business is hard enough. Your finances shouldn't be.
Welcome to the Investing in Real Estate Show. I'm Clayton Morris. So glad to have you here. I'm the founder of Morris Invest, which is a full-service rental real estate company. Noticed a need in the market a number of years ago. People wanting to invest in real estate but didn't have the wherewithal, find contractors, do it all yourself. So what we built is an amazing team that allows you to invest wherever you live in the United States. It doesn't matter, or around the world, and have great properties in some of the best rental markets in the country, fully done for you. So that's what we do. That's my background. And on these Q&A episodes, we take your questions. So you're able to leave us a voicemail question. We attempt to answer it here on the show. The way to do that is go to our website, morrisinvest.com. Click on the microphone icon, which is on the right side of your screen. Click that and leave us a 30-second voicemail question. We will answer it here on the show. So it is Halloween. Happy Halloween to all of you. We are entering now a really interesting period in the real estate marketplace. We're still seeing prices on homes coming down. We're seeing demand still skyrocketing for properties. We have a housing shortage in the United States, so we need an overall huge demand for properties. So that is continuing, but we are seeing an increase in interest rates as well. So all of these factors go into what we're currently seeing at the end of 2022 into 2023. And so that will probably inform some of the questions we have from our viewers today. And I want to listen to our first question today from Sean. We're going to take three questions and attempt to answer them the best that we can. All right, Sean, take it away.
Hello, Clayton. My name is Sean. I have questions about the 18% IRR that you're talking about. Over how many years and where would you get that number? I understand that, you know, a monthly cash flow of a couple hundred dollars a month from a single family rental. But can you go into more depth about your 18% IRR? All right, thank you.
Hey, thanks, Sean. So yeah, internal rate of return is what he's asking about. And it's a far more valuable metric to understand a real estate investment because you're projecting over the course of time how this will perform for you. So all of the properties that we do at Morris Invest are full, you know, they're new construction properties. Our property management team places a tenant in the property and it's fully done for you, for our clients. We have a minimum 18% internal rate of return on our properties. They're in the best school districts, they yield great cash flow, but you're also getting the great tax benefits and you're in the most landlord-friendly state in the country, in the state of Texas, where we build our properties. So that minimum 18%, it goes higher than that, but that's the minimum that we provide on our properties. And there's a couple of factors that go into it. You're looking at number one, over the course of a year, right? This is an annual return, 18% annual return, Sean, to answer that first part of your question. And you know, if you're getting a 30-year mortgage, of course, that's projected over 30 years based on a 30-year mortgage. And if you're putting 25% down. And of course, these numbers are going to vary based on who you are, Sean, and what you have to work with and how long your loan period is. And there's a couple of tax related issues as well. Are you a real estate professional under the IRS code, or are you a W-2 employee who's investing separately? That'll be the difference between being an active or a passive real estate investor. So there are a couple of tax related things there as well. Also expenses on the property. Remember, we're talking net internal rate of return, not gross, net. So this is after expenses. Okay. This is after expenses and costs and fees and so forth. And this is, yes, also including the amount you would pay to the property manager as well. So this is after all of those things, all of those fees, an 18% internal rate of return. What that means is you're basically, it's, if you think of 18%, that means you have 18% more of something after 12 months than you did at the beginning. So you buy something after 12 months, after a year, you have 18% more of the thing than you do right now. So what that means is if you're borrowing and leveraging it with, you're financing it with a mortgage, which we hope you do, we want you to use other people's money, even if interest rates have gone up a little bit. And if you qualify with the bank, use the bank's money. Why would you come out of pocket all with your own cash, right? And so it's the time value of money. If you use all of your money, that's what internal rate of return considers, the time value of money. Why would you use 100% of your money when you could use 25% of it or 25% down and have the bank use the rest? Now, over the course of that 30 years, what we're looking for in an IRR is the projection of cash flow over a 30-year period and over a long period of time. So what is the cash flow on that property? Okay, how much profit are you bringing home every month? What are you paying for money? So what are you paying for the bank's money? What interest rate are you paying? That goes into the equation as well. Again, time value of money. And then based on those projections over a period of time, how is that tenant also increasing your equity position? So again, a couple of things here. How much are you paying for the money? What is the cash flow from the property? How are you increasing your equity position over the course of 30 years? Because remember, real estate is the only asset class investment where you're getting all of these additional benefits, the tax benefits, the asset benefits, the cash flow benefits, and the equity benefits. You know, it pays you four different ways, right? So you're increasing your equity position because the tenant is paying down your mortgage over the life of it. So all of that gets factored into the internal rate of return question. Again, it's really just the time value of money. And again, each of these little pieces of the equation will differ based on your situation. But again, starting with the knowledge that we don't even touch or build a property unless we can provide a minimum 18% internal rate of return, including the mortgage that you're going to pay, including the cash flow that you'll receive from the tenant, the tax benefits from either a cost segregation or mortgage write down based on the interest of the loan. And of course the equity position as it grows over time. So I hope that helps. Again, book a call with our team, Sean, because we'll be able to look at your specific scenario and give you a better determination. We'll be able to match you with a property specifically, and we'll be able to look at your specific, qualifications for a mortgage. Maybe you qualify because your credit score is great, you know, at a really high level. Well, that's also going to affect your internal rate of return. Again, what are you paying for money from the bank? So all of these factors will go into that number. I hope you found that helpful. Again, it's not a cut and dry answer because it really will depend on your situation, the property, the cash flow, and the projections going forward. Okay. And this is a good point. I should make this point before we move on to the next caller. You know, we're in a crazy, crappy economy right now, right? I mean, we're looking at a collapse. And so real estate is, to my mind, the number one way to protect your family's wealth against this coming collapse. Everyone I'm talking to is seeing collapse on the horizon financially right now. People are fleeing the US dollar. This started last week. We saw a reversal in the dollar index. We're seeing that now in a way that we weren't before. We're seeing an increase in interest rates. We're seeing that again, of course, as the Fed continues to raise interest rates. We are seeing an energy crisis of our own making based on these ridiculous sanctions. So again, all of this is man-made. We're in the federal bank, the central bank's continuing to print money as they think that's the way to get out of this mess, is to print more money, creating more inflation. It's madness. So real estate and commodities, one unbelievable way to protect yourself right now. So cash flow is condensed right now. Like, we need to have realistic expectations about the cash flow that we're seeing because we're paying more for interest, more for money, right? We're paying more for mortgages. We're obviously dealing with inflation. And so we're seeing condensed cash flow. We're still getting nice cash flow on our rental properties, but the main focus should absolutely be, like, this is protect your family's wealth moment. This is like the bunker mentality, you know, batten down the hatches, as Jeff Bezos said last week, and protect our family. So real estate to me is the number one way to preserve your family's wealth. Cash flow, icing on the cake at this moment, but preserving our wealth, that should be the main focus. That's my main focus right now. So just to explain that a little bit more right now, given this current economic situation. All right, our next question, let's listen in.
Hello, Mr. Clayton. My name is Farrell, and I have five rental houses. With my house is six houses I have, and I have some cash in the bank right now. I'm interested in buying more, but I'm not sure if I have to wait a little longer so the prices are dropped for more rental houses, or I just have to buy it now. Would you please help me out? Thank you so much.
Thank you so much for the question. Again, I can't tell you what to do with your money right now. I can tell you, and I'm not a financial advisor, I can tell you that, you know, what I would be doing right now is protecting. I'm buying more real estate right now. Okay. I'm making sure that my money is out of dollars, is not cash on hand in a bank that is losing value. I'm making sure that it's in commodities, things that are tangible assets. Okay. Real estate is my number one. And so that's in good economy or down economy. It's a tangible asset that is, it is a sunk cost protecting my family. And that's the way that I look at it. Again, yes, are you going to pay a little bit more money right now for some interest rates, paying for other people's money? Maybe, depends on your situation and where those interest rates sit based on your credit score. I get that. Are you paying a little bit more for prices on a home right now? Maybe. We've seen some prices start to drop a little bit, but we have such a demand issue right now. We have such a huge need for houses that we're not going to see, like we saw in 2007, 2008, in my opinion, we're not going to see huge like 30% drops in prices because the market collapsed. They were overbuilt. They went way too many properties. And a lot of people that overbuilt condos and so forth then had to turn them into apartments because they overbuilt, thinking people could just buy these things, you know, just get any mortgage. They didn't have to have a job. So we're on a different time right now. So as long as the numbers make sense to you, I would be buying as a way to protect my family. Again, cash flow, again, that'll expand in a better economy. Maybe in a year, we'll see increased cash flow position as you're able to increase rents. And of course, inflation drops. And of course, then all of those things moderate and you're able to see an expanded cash flow position. Great. But as a taking that $1 and putting into $1 of real estate, where you get the appreciation and you get the tax benefits and you get the protection against inflation, that's what I'm looking at. Okay. That's my main focus. So you could wait until we have some sort of a bigger collapse, but I just don't see it affecting real estate prices in the markets where there is the demand for great properties, where we build our properties. You know, again, New York City might see some big swings, or Vegas might see some big swings, or San Francisco, but I don't invest in those areas. No, I'm investing in areas that have great jobs and have a diversity of jobs, low crime already. So there's incredible demand. And again, there's no one real estate market. There's thousands and thousands of real estate markets out there. And so where I'm investing, I don't see these problems. I don't see big drops in prices at all. I'm seeing consistency. So again, it all comes down to location, 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 and just being smart right now. So thank you for that question. All right, our next question comes to us from Linda.
Hello, I really enjoy your podcast. And I was just wondering if we are in a buyer's market or a seller's market.
Oh, thank you so much for that question. Buyer, seller's market. This is a great one, right? Are we in a market right now that we should jump in, or we should sit on the sidelines? This kind of goes back to what we were just hearing about from our previous caller. So if you think about earlier this year, spring of 2022, there was an intense seller's market in the United States. Obviously, concerns over COVID still, and what was going to happen in the broader economy. So you saw like a lot of people taking advantage of some of the appreciation they built in and started selling off some property. So it became a really intense seller's market. But buyer demand, though, has remained incredibly high. We still need a lot of properties. Now, as we enter into the holiday season, there's always a slowdown, always. Thanksgiving, Christmas, no one likes to move during those times. It's also a little bit more difficult during these times to get a tenant in a property during the holidays. Because again, people don't want to move during Christmas or Thanksgiving in the United States. It's just like a lockdown period. People are there. They got their Christmas tree set up. They don't want to be packing boxes. It's just the way it is. And then after the beginning of the year, when people start getting their tax returns back and that starts to fold, then you start to see a flood of people wanting to move, buy properties. So January into February. And I don't see that changing this much at all. So, again, it's all a local game. Buyers and sellers markets, it's all a local game. Depends on your local economy and what sort of supply and what sort of demand. Again, Reading, Pennsylvania, there was no properties like last year or about a year and a half ago. No properties available in the best school districts. There was zero. So realtors were going door to door and putting like, you know, sticky things on the doors like, hey, have you considered selling your property lately? You know, when that's happening, there is an absolute demand for those properties. So that is a seller's market, right? Anyone, there could be bidding wars and people, you know, buying them up like crazy. When it's more of a buyer's market, when it's more of a buyer's market, then of course there's a lot to pick from, and there's, you know, buyers can sort of sit back and be really choosy and they can demand lower prices, but we're not there. Like, we still don't have the inventory. Again, it depends on where you are, but we still need millions of homes in the United States to be built. So as far as buyers being able to sit back and just say, man, there's just hundreds of properties for me to pick from in this one market, and I can, you know, I can demand whatever price I want. I'll take it $50,000 lower than the ticket price. Again, it depends on where you are, but it's not really happening at all. So I still think we're in a bit of a seller's market. It's slowed down a little bit. Obviously, as interest rates increase, it's becoming more difficult for people to get mortgages. They can't afford them as much as they could. But we still, you know, have incredible demand for properties. So, you know, it's really going to come down to, and you can talk to your local realtors or even just like look on Zillow to find out how long are homes sitting on the market, days on market in your town right now. Are they sitting there for a long time, or are they selling pretty quickly? You know, because in a really hot market, homes are selling within like 2 weeks, right? And as interest rates increase, that gets expanded out 3 weeks, 4 weeks, a month or more. Your house could sit there. I'll just give you an anecdote. We had our house a number of years ago for sale in New Jersey, and we decided to list it right when the interest rates went up. Like, it was like right around Thanksgiving. It was stupid of us to do it. And interest rates went up and everything just slowed down. The holidays, it came to a screeching halt. We did like two open houses. There was some interest, but it was like holidays. No one wants to buy a home. Even though there wasn't a lot of inventory, the interest rates went up and the holidays were there. And so it was kind of condensed. And then after the holidays, we relisted it. We took it off the market. We relisted it and nothing changed. We didn't even change the price, right? Nothing changed. And boom, then we had like 10 offers. And it was like a bidding war because it was after the holidays and the demand was still there and interest rates dropped just a little bit. And that was enough to really open the floodgates. So take that data with a bit of, you know, with a grain of salt. It really is going to come down to, what market are you talking about? What neighborhood are you talking about? What demographics and state job market are you talking about? There is no one thing as one real estate market in the United States. Anyway, I hope you found that helpful. You can leave us a voicemail question here on our channel by going to morrisinvest.com. Click on the little microphone icon on the right side of your screen and leave us like a 30-second voicemail question, and we will answer it here on the show. Now go out there, take action, and become a real estate investor. I still believe it's the number one way to make and preserve your wealth. We'll see you next time, everyone.